Habakkuk chapter 3. We'll do a somewhat of a brief overview of the entire book, not looking at every verse, but some key verses as we think about this theme tonight, this afternoon, of the revival we need. The revival we need. And we'll read this second verse of the third chapter. And as it says in the first verse, this is a prayer of the prophet. Prayer of the prophet. I ask you, in before we even read it, to consider, have you ever prayed for revival? That's what this is in this third chapter. He's not preaching here. He's talking to the Lord. Let's read this second verse. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. You see, Babylon was already coming for Judah. God's judgment was coming. It was going to be used. He was going to use Babylon to bring that. And really, Habakkuk already knew that. I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the year. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. The prayer, though, I want you to concentrate and think about that as we begin. The prayer of Habakkuk. The prayer. His prayer was, Lord, I know what's coming, but Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? In wrath, Lord, would you please remember mercy? Have you ever prayed for revival? Have you ever heard someone pray for a revival? I trust that we will be well aware of the need we have. Not someone else has, but the need I have or the need you have. Make it personal tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for what you're still doing. Your work is still being accomplished because of your power and your Holy Spirit that is leading us, filling us. This is what we want. We want to be filled with your Spirit, Lord. We pray that you, even right now, we would be emptied of ourselves and filled with the Spirit as speaker and listener alike, whether we're here or online. And we do pray that the online meeting would work appropriately, properly, so that people that are not able to come here would be able to listen to your word. That your word, God, would continue to mold us and make us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go beyond asking, have we ever prayed for revival? Have we ever heard someone pray for revival? Let's ask it this way. Have you ever prayed for a personal revival? A personal revival. Not just for the church to be revived or Christians in general to be revived. Not just for like Habakkuk here. He's praying here for revival in the midst of the years, whether it's personal or private or public, or whether it's for the whole nation of Judah. But I wonder, how about, have we ever prayed for personal revival? Before something is real, it must be personal. Right? You know, this is the word of God. Okay, that's a great statement and it's true. But is it real to you? Right? This is the infallible, inerrant word of God. And it's got to be, before it's real, it must be personal. Before it really has the emphasis, it can't be that the pastor has told you for 15, 20 years, or this person has told you that it's the word of God, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is the inspired, God-breathed, that's what inspired means, that this book is God's word, and it will always bring forth fruit, and it's powerful, and all the other things we say, but it's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. I can't make it personal for you. You can't make it personal for me. You've got to seek the Holy Spirit of God on your own and say, I need this book to be personal. I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm not saying you don't, but it's got to be personal. It must be personal before it can move forward. In other words, yes, Christians need revival. No, it's got to be I need revival. Personal. You see what I'm saying? It's not my son needs to be revived, you know. My son needs revival, or my wife needs revival, or my husband, or the pastor, or the assistant pastor. No, I need revival. It's got to be personal. I need revival. I found this quote when I was reading this week. A revival is a new beginning of obedience to God. There was no name with it, so I don't know who to attribute it to, but I didn't come up with it, but it sure rang true in my heart. A revival is a new beginning of obedience to God. Simply this could be the case. Because we need reviving, it's because we're not obeying God as we ought to be. That's why it's personal. Everyone here needs to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We can conclude then that to pray for revival is to pray for complete obedience to God. As I'm praying for Anchor Baptist Church to experience revival, what am I praying for? I'm really praying that all of us would obey God all of the time. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if we obeyed God all of the time? That would be a revival. Meaning every time God led me in a certain way, there would be no resistance, there would be no disobedience. I would just obey the Spirit of God. Every moment, every day, I would obey God. That's genuine revival. And that's what we're praying for. Have you arrived at that, Pastor Turner? No, I have not. I have not. I haven't obeyed God every time God's asked me to do something. And I'm not bragging. I'm really ashamed of that, but it's true. But I want to be yielded to the Lord. I want to be fully committed to God. And so as praying for revival, that's what we're praying for, is that we would have complete obedience to God. What revival isn't, it isn't a full auditorium or a full tent of people. That is not revival. Revival is not a 5-day, 7-day, or 2-week event. A revival is a family that is surrendered to complete obedience to God. That is revival. A revival is a husband who is surrendered to lead his family to obey God at any cost. A revival is a teenager's willingness to follow the will of God wherever it takes him or her. That is revival. Again, complete obedience, complete surrender. That's revival. Revival is giving the tithe and offering every time we get paid. Reviving is denying myself and being dedicated to the Savior. Revival is praying without ceasing. Revival is forgiving until it exceeds 70 times 7. Because these are things that God has commanded us to do. And revival is when we know the orders from headquarters, yes, sir, I'm in the Lord's army. We want to obey our God. You know why I don't have that revival all the time? It's because I still like to obey me. I still want to please me too much. You probably have that same problem from time to time. Or maybe I want to please someone else more than I want to please a holy God. And yet revival would be a new beginning of obedience to God. It's really that simple, isn't it? But it's not that easy. It is simple, but it's not that easy. That revival would be a new beginning of obedience to God. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is indwelling us. Praise the Lord for that. You know, that's one of the things that we see in the Word of God that guarantees us eternal life, is that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us as believers. We are as much in heaven tonight, we are as good in heaven tonight as we are here. We are seated with the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you're not there. We're not there physically, but we're there. I mean, we have eternal life right now. Because why? We have that earnest. We have that Holy Spirit, that promise that God has given us. And so the Holy Spirit of God is an assurance of heaven, but the Holy Spirit of God is the voice of God in my life tonight. I don't hear him call me by name, but I know when the Holy Spirit of God is leading me to do something. And I know when the Holy Spirit of God is leading me not to do something. And therefore, revival is when the Holy Spirit of God prompts, I obey without delay. That's revival. Obey without delay. Babylon was becoming a dominant world power in the day of the prophet Habakkuk. Judah would soon experience their power firsthand. God would allow this heathen nation to come in and judge Judah. God was going to use them for this, as God did in many ways through many other nations. Habakkuk knew this. Habakkuk knew this. He was a prophet of God. He was someone who spent time with the Lord. But yet Habakkuk had not given up. We may look around us in 2020 and we may see certain things that are concerning to us. But I would again submit to you that it has to be personal. Let's not be so much concerned about the world around us. Let's be concerned about the person sitting in the chair we're in right now. Because that's when revival comes. And I see Habakkuk here in chapter 3, not just uttering some words and not just, you know, repeating some words and, you know, like a repetitive type prayer. I see there's passion. I see there's maybe a sorrow as you think about what's happening. And this is why as we read the Word of God, we really need to dig a little bit to understand what's happening when this is being written and why is it so concerning to the prophet Habakkuk. His nation, judgment was coming. The hand of God, the judging hand of God was coming, and it greatly concerned him. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Let's go back to chapter 1. Back to chapter 1. I'd like to give you several. There's seven of them. I hope to get through them in a timely manner, but some of them shorter than others, time-wise. But I'd like to just take a brief journey through the book of Habakkuk right now, if we could. Number one, in verse 1, we see a man with a burden. Number one, a man with a burden. We're talking about the revival we need. I believe that is where it genuinely starts. Are we burdened for personal revival? Now again, I'm not speaking about Anchor Baptist Church as a whole. Remember, revival is not real until it's personal. Notice the Bible says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Number one, the man with a burden. This was a burden that Habakkuk witnessed for himself. He wanted so much for God to intervene. He wanted so much for God's mercy to come. We read that just a moment ago. But I want to challenge you personally right now. Do you have a burden that you yourself would be completely and wholeheartedly surrendered to the leading of God in your life? That's revival. A beginning, a new and a fresh of obedience to God. So, number one, a man with a burden. But number two, same verse, the Bible says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did what? Did see. Look down at verse number 12 as well. Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. In other words, as I read this, I come to this conclusion that Habakkuk, number two, Habakkuk had a vision of a holy God. Habakkuk had a vision of a holy God. You see that? O Lord, my God, mine Holy One, in verse number 12. When my vision of God is one of His holiness, then my vision of self, it will definitely point me to realize just how desperate I am in need of personal revival. Because when you see the holiness of God, then you quickly see that we are not holy. But let's focus on that for just a moment. A vision of a holy God. God is holy. God is sovereign. God is immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. God is holy. God is perfect. God has never made a mistake. He never will. God is holy. As Habakkuk sees the holiness of God, he says, "Oh Lord, my God, mine holy one." And then he says down further in the verse, "Oh mighty God." We need this same kind of vision today. As we read in the New Testament, "Be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy." This is the kind of vision I need in 2020. It's not the 2020 vision of sight, but it's the vision of a holy God. I need to remove anything from my life. I need to remove anything from my life that is doubtful. What do you mean by that? If I'm not sure if this is something that should be a part of my life, then it's best to remove it if I don't know if it's right or wrong, if I'm not sure. Why? Because again, I'm seeing God for who He is. I'm seeking personal revival. And when I see the holiness of God, I don't want anything in my life that could prevent me from having that personal revival, which is, and as we said earlier, it is complete obedience to whatever God leads me to do. You know, the more that we are in God's Word, the more that we are in God's Word, we said this morning, the better equipped we will be. But also, the more that we are in God's Word, the more we will recognize things that should not be a part of our life. And it's not that we are better than someone else. It's just that when we see a holy God as Isaiah did, Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, "Woe is me." He realized, wow, the holiness of God, when you see God at who He really is, we recognize just how short we fall, as it says in Romans 3, as it is written, "There's none righteous, no, not one," Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Number one, we see that the Habakkuk was a man with a burden. Are you burdened about your personal revival? That's where it begins. Oh, it doesn't have to stop there. We could be burdened about the revival of our home, the revival of our church, the revival of our community. But it starts with you. It starts in me. Send a revival and let it begin in me. Habakkuk is a man with a burden. Number two, Habakkuk is a man who had a vision of a holy God. But number three, Habakkuk is a man with a willingness to be reproved. Chapter 2, verse 1. "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved." Reproof is good. Reproof is good. We need to be reproved. We may not enjoy it, but we need it. I need to be reproved. You need to be reproved. It means we need to be corrected. When we've gone astray, when we've gone and done wrong, we need the Word of God to reprove us. We need the preaching of the Word of God to reprove us. We need maybe a brother in Christ to reprove us. I find that's difficult to do because we always are wondering, how is it going to be taken by that one? We got to go in the right spirit. The Bible says our preaching should reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Habakkuk says, "I am someone who needs to be reproved." By the way, if we are humble, anytime reproof comes, we will be willing to accept it and seek to do better next time. Again, personal revival. Revival will not be what God wants it to be in your life and in my life until it's personal. Until it's personal. Not corporate revival, not church revival, but revival in your heart, revival in my heart. A willingness to be reproved. I want to ask you something. Could there be any sin even in your life right now and you've never confessed it? Listen. Could there be sin in your life right now that you've never... Pastor Turner, my sins are forgiven. Yes, I recognize that. But the Bible makes it very clear in 1 John 1:9 that we are to confess our sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not saying that you need to get saved again, but if you're carrying around sin that is unconfessed, that you haven't given to the Lord, I can guarantee you this, revival is not coming. Because revival is a complete surrender. Revival is coming to God and saying, God already knows what it is, even if there is some. I'm not saying there is. I'm just saying we want to come totally clean with a holy God. Praise God that they've been forgiven. Praise God the sin atonement has been made. Yes, the sacrifice has been paid. But you and I both know this. People are going to go to hell that their sins were already paid for. Why aren't they going to heaven? Because they never received it by faith. I personally believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. The Bible tells us that. But that doesn't mean the whole world's going to heaven, right? No, they're not, because they've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not repented and turned to Christ for salvation. You can't be saved apart from that. And so the same thing is true tonight as Christians. We don't want to be carrying around sin with us and then seeking God for revival. No, we need to be willing to be reproved and have our toes, if you will, stepped on. And yes, our sins can be forgiven, but maybe there's something tonight that you need to bring to God. You don't have to bring it to me. You don't have to bring it to somebody else, but you might need to bring it to God tonight and confess that. Our past must be put away and cleansed if I am to have genuine revival. You know, a fire is something that purifies. Purifies. It purifies metal. And you know what? God is looking for vessels that have been purified. Might we allow the fire of the Holy Spirit of God in us tonight, that if there's something there that needs to be forsaken and confessed, that we would recognize, yes, that is there. Yes, I haven't forgiven that person. Yes, I'm still bitter about this. Yes, this is there. Whatever it may be, I don't know what it is. But personal revival is only going to come when we have a willingness to be reproved. No Christian is above reproof. And we might say the pastor on down. I don't look at it that way. I think we're all in this together. We all need the Lord. But yes, even the pastor, even whoever you want to think of tonight, the point is this. I want revival. I want personal revival. And I'm asking the Lord daily, reprove me, reprove me, reprove me. I don't want to get far away from God. The further you get away from God, the harder it is to hear Him sometimes. I want to stay right close, and I want Him to put it right in my ear. This was wrong. You need to get it right. A man with a burden, chapter 1, verse 1. A man with a vision of a holy God, chapter 1, verse 12. Oh, what is your vision of God today? Number 3, a willingness to be reproved, chapter 2, verse 1. Next, verse 4. Very familiar verse that we read in Romans as well. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Number 4, Habakkuk was a man who had faith in God. Faith in God. Now, let me encourage you, church, God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. If everything you planned is changed, your faith in God should remain strong. If all of my plans were done away with, my faith in God should remain strong. He is trustworthy. If your cherished plans don't come out the way you planned, it has nothing to do with your being a victorious Christian if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Your life is God's to control. Faith in God. Faith in God. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Faith in God. Think about that. Again, we can get our eyes off of the Lord in a day like today. And maybe it's easier this year than any ever before in your life. I don't know. But don't forget this. God is trustworthy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the economy. It doesn't matter the health and the wealth. It doesn't matter any of that. God is trustworthy. This man, Habakkuk, he knows that the judgment of God is coming. But the just shall live by faith. Just like we live by faith in 2019, let's live by faith in 2020, no matter what comes our way. This is God's church. This is God's body that he has redeemed. Your body, our body, belongs to the Lord. Have faith in God. This is the revival that we need, a revival of great faith. Can you trust God? Yes, you can trust God. That's how you got saved. You got saved by faith. You and I have confessed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross, and we've never seen him one time. But by faith, we believe that he is, and I'm not trying to bring that to it. I'm just making a point. We trust the unknown to the Lord. We've never seen him, and yet obviously we have his word, and yet there's much about our life that is a whole lot less complicated than going to heaven, and we can't trust God with that. I say if we trust God with our eternal soul, we can trust God with our bread tomorrow. If we trust God with our eternal soul, we can trust God for a meeting place. Look, I have no idea where we're going to be meeting almost month by month anymore. But you know what? I can have faith in God. I can trust that God is in control. I can trust that God has got it all under control. And in the meantime, let him revive and do a great work in your heart as well. But it's going to take faith in God. Fifthly, we come to our text verse. The revival that we need is a man with a burden. It's a man with a vision of a holy God. It's a man with a willingness to be reproved. It's a man with faith in God. It's a man, number five, with prayer for revival. Prayer for revival. Praying for a moving of God that leads us to obedience in every area of our life. Possibly you could add that to your time of prayer every day. Possibly you could add that to your prayer multiple times that you pray for personal revival. Yes, that you pray for also the church and for other believers, but that you emphasize, your emphasis is a prayer for revival. And then number six. Along with that prayer for revival, I see there a plea for mercy. There's a plea for mercy. You see it there in verse number 2, in wrath, remember mercy. There's a plea for mercy. I want to encourage you with something tonight, that God is more concerned about your unsaved family member than you are. Think about this. God is more concerned with your unsaved family member than you are. Why am I saying that? Because we're going to him for mercy, and we should be. But think about this. You're going to the one that loves that unsaved family member more than can ever be imagined. We're going to God on behalf of that. In this case, someone who doesn't need revival, they need redemption. They need to be saved. And I have a list of people that I'm praying for each and every day. And I'm seeking the Lord. Mainly, I'm seeking the Lord as Habakkuk. I'm no Habakkuk, but I'm patterning it. And I'm going to God for mercy. But I was reminded of this, that God is more concerned about the church than I am. God, what's going to happen? You know, Anchor Baptist Church, what's going to happen? I mean, you know, God's more concerned about the church than I am. God's more concerned about the church than you are. He gave his life for this place. This, and I'm not saying a building, it's the people. Save people today. God is concerned about us. God loves us. There's a plea for mercy. I don't need to go to God and convince God of anything. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But what do we need to do? We need to humbly plead for mercy. As Habakkuk, in the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. In other words, judgment is on its way. Judgment's coming, and by the way, it's not going to be stopped. But he's asking for, within that judgment, God, have mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. There's a plea for mercy. But then we have another thought. Look at the end of chapter 3. The revival that we need. The revival that we need. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. Flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Boy, that sounds pretty sad, doesn't it? Doom and gloom. And yes, judgment was coming. No stopping it. Every bit of work was going to yield nothing. Yet, first word of verse 18, yet. That'd be a good word to circle, yet. Everything that I've tried to do has failed. I've witnessed to that. I've witnessed to my son. I've prayed for my son and nothing has happened. We've had Anchor Baptist Church now, to God's glory, almost 20 years. We, you know, there's been a lot of labor for God's glory and there's been a lot of fruit to God's glory. We praise Him for it. You know, sometimes the enemy will help us to take our vision off of the eternal and take our vision and put it on the temporal. Things that mean nothing for all eternity. Property, a building, nothing against those things, but they're not going anywhere when we go to heaven. They're going to stay right here in Vancouver. And if we're not careful, we can begin to focus on those things. And Habakkuk said, you know, we're not going to have any figs. We're not going to have any olives. We're not going to have any herd, no cows, no nothing, no flocks. But he says, yet. Number 7, Habakkuk lived in the yet of life. He lived in the yet. He saw what was coming, he saw what was happening, and yet he said, yet I will what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. Yep, I see it, the crops have failed, the herds, the stalls are empty, the olives never produced, the figs are nasty, nothing's working out, this judgment of God is coming, and yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I want to say number 7, revival, the revival that we need is included in that. We've got to make a choice to live in the land of rejoicing. We must make a choice to get up every day that God gives us air to breathe and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God has given me His Word, His Spirit, the church. God's given me so much, and I want to live for God. I want to be obedient. That's revival. Seeing all that God has done, and regardless of how everything is going, I'm going to make a choice to rejoice. In other words, Habakkuk made a choice to not allow his surroundings to rob him of his joy. Psalm 51 and verse 12. Would you go there quickly? Psalm 51 and verse 12. You see, I believe there is a connection to the end of Habakkuk with the beginning of Habakkuk. I believe there's a connection with the heart of rejoicing that comes out of a revived heart. Because I believe that a heart that is not revived is going to be a heart that is always seeing the glass half empty. But part of the byproduct of having a revived heart is having a heart of rejoicing. Because why? This is all God's. And God is good. Look at Psalm 51. David has finally, after hanging on to his sin, David has finally confessed. Notice he says in verse 12, you've read this verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Revival leads to restoration. Revival leads to restoration. Revival is a new willingness, a new beginning of obedience to God. Habakkuk, a man with a burden, a man with a vision of a holy God, A man with a willingness to be reproved. How about it today? Don't think about someone else. Just think about your life. Is there something in your life right now that needs to be given over to the Lord? I'm talking about a sin that needs to be confessed. Habakkuk was a man of great faith in God. He was a man who prayed. He was a man who prayed for revival. When is the last time we prayed for personal revival? He was a man who pled for mercy. And he was a man who lived in the yet. He made a choice to rejoice. One of our recent missionaries sent me something in a reply of an email. And I think it's in all of his emails. You know how you can have a like a signature to an email? And no matter what you send, it has the same thing. You know, I have the theme for every year when my emails, they're all, it's, I don't know if it's a signature or what it's called. But it would appear as if it was in all of his emails. But I got his permission, and I would like to just kind of end right now by reading this to you. It's a little bit lengthy. This is from a missionary's perspective. It goes along with what we're talking about tonight. He said, "From seeing the churches that we have met on deputation, my prayer for churches is that we may anguish more in our souls to demonstrate the fullness of God. May we be renewed in our minds continually to a greater awareness of His holiness, to a greater awareness of His wisdom, to a greater awareness of His power. Many churches are so weak because we are blind to God's hatred against the smallest sin." I have no idea why he sent this to me. Maybe he sends it to everybody. But I was so glad he did, because it really challenged me. "We are blind to God's hatred against the smallest sin, and blind to His sacrificial love after the least of souls. We have lost awareness. We have lost our awareness of the Holy Spirit, because we have replaced His position in the church with man's wisdom and tradition." Wow. Do you realize what that statement means? We're supposed to let the Holy Spirit of God control, aren't we? Yes. We're not supposed to let tradition control the church. I'm talking to the pastor right now. We're not supposed to let our program control the church, and I don't think we set out for that, but sometimes we might allow our wisdom or our knowledge to be in control. And he says, we have lost the awareness that we need the Holy Spirit to be in control of every meeting. That's me adding to that. "We measure the value of our ministries by the temporal, not the eternal. We are more interested in a growing number of people than a growing hunger and thirst after the presence of God." And I made something similar to that statement on Wednesday night, that it is my prayer that we have more disciples. If that means 12, 12 it is. That means 40, 40 it is. It's not the thousands, it's the group, it's the small group. "We measure the value of our ministries by the temporal, not the eternal. We are more interested in a growing number of people than a growing hunger and thirst after the presence of God. Revival is sought after. Revival is sought after to tickle the ears and stir the feels, rather than pierce the ears and provoke obedience after suffering." I hope you were able to hear the morning message, because this next little bit ties all of this together into one. What if the answer to revival meant greater persecution and loss of freedoms? Greater persecution and loss of freedoms. What if, do we still want revival? The poison of man's wisdom mixed with the gospel has resulted in spiritual abortion by leaving many newborn babes in Christ left to die because we invite them to a building and a schedule rather than a sacred covenant relationship of love between God's people. This isn't about just coming to church. This isn't about just picking up the songbook and singing. This is about a relationship with God Sunday through Saturday. Every day we get to spend time with our Heavenly Father in His Word and hear from His Word and hear from His Spirit. Every day we get to grow closer to Him. Every day we need to be asking God, reprove us, challenge us. Why? That we might be closer and closer to Him. Oh, that our hearts would become an altar of His consuming fire. May even the smallest speck of sin on the garment of Christ become an abomination to our souls. You have a robe of righteousness that you wear and I wear. That's what he's talking about there. The slightest speck of sin. The same degree that we desire the glory of God to be demonstrated before thousands, may we seek the same measure of his glory for one. The revival that we need. Isaiah 59:19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The revival that we need. What is revival? Revival is a renewed, complete obedience to God. That's where revival starts. That I'm willing to obey God.